Time now for another edition of Superstars of Business as Pioneer Natural Resources sponsors this in-depth look at our area businesses and organizations and services that makes our area unique as we learn more about our contribution to our community in these challenging times, the Superstars of Business, and that falls on the American Red Cross Raton chapter. And in the studios this morning, we have Mona Sandoval, we have Lynn Pasquale, and Dennis Downing are here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Billy.
All right.
We're here this morning.
We're here, and the American Red Cross is always here, right?
Yes.
And we're not out of this.
No, we're not.
We're not out of this. Fire. What an explosion of fire yesterday in New Mexico. Las Conchas, there near Los Alamos. Pacheco is still. You look outside, see smoke in the air, and man, oh man. Of course, our track fire, we went to the town hall meeting yesterday, got briefed on that. We still have 80 personnel fighting the fire for the track fire here, so that's not over and done with yet. But not so much fire, it's water that we're concerned mm-hmm. about right now.
Right, it's all about being prepared for
yes.
these disasters when they hit.
Okay, so. Be prepared. American Red Cross, can you give us a little history on the American Red Cross?
Sure. American Red Cross in New Mexico that I'm familiar with is a nonprofit. We are operating solely on donations from the people. And with those donations, it provides us resources so that we can help within our communities. The chapter that we're out of in Albuquerque covers the majority of the state of New Mexico. And so when you make a donation, not only is it going to help us, but it's going to help everyone within your state. Without those donations from the average Joe, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
Absolutely. A little history about our Raton chapter of the American Red Cross. How many members are in our chapter?
Well, I cover the whole county of Colfax.
Okay, well,
so
okay.
In Raton
all right,
alone,
yeah.
We have about 25 volunteers. Of that, probably, well, with this disaster, all of them came out. And but actively, I would say probably 15 to 16 year-round. And then in Angel Fire, Dennis and I just trained a group out there, and they have about 15 newly trained, fully trained Red Cross volunteers out there. In Springer, I have another 15 to 16 volunteers, and then in Cimarron, I have one.
Okay.
But we're trained, we're ready to respond if we're called out for not only fires, but winter storms, flooding, any kind of natural disaster. Usually we're called out to help.
We saw you at El Portal, too.
Yes.
When we had that that local emergency as well. Yeah, any time that a disaster hits, and we say it constantly, we are amazed at the generosity and the open heart mm-hmm. that the American people have.
Definitely.
Not only in Raton and Colfax County, but throughout the nation. But, boy, when it hits close to home, man, oh, man.
This was such a different experience for
yeah.
us. You know, like I said before, we have had many shelters since we started this particular Red Cross team. And we're called a disaster action team. We're deployed out just for disasters. So that's why you don't see us in a building with a telephone and an office per se. We're called out by the emergency manager or fire department, whichever entity is needing our assistance. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, you know, when we're called out, we're there to help.
Now, you say that you've just trained some personnel in Angel Fire. If someone wants to get involved, what is the process? What does the training consist of, et cetera?
I'll let Dennis
yeah.
cover that. Dennis?
Okay.
Yes, Billy, let me address that. We're trained instructors, CPR, first aid, AED, that's a little stimulator for your heart. And so when someone comes into the program, they have to go through that training. And then we have an unbelievable series of training, shelter operations, client services. We could be training monthly. Mm-hmm. But we just the basic training, get someone started. Shelter ops is pretty important because we haven't done it in a while, but when the snow closes a freeway, we have to open a shelter. And, of course, a natural disaster like we've just had. Our Red Cross unit in Albuquerque will call us to respond a lot of different areas. Fire in Clayton. They don't have a Red Cross people in Clayton, so they called us and said, hey, take care of these folks. So, but if you're coming in, the basic thing is CPR, first aid, a little bit of training, and then it kind of unfolds. We don't do a whole lot of training right in the beginning until something happens, and then we try to give you some training to allow you to go ahead and be of service.
Okay. And those trainings with the medical, I mean, that can translate into everyday situations, not necessarily a big disaster, mm-hmm. but an individual disaster. Any special skills required for a volunteer?
The neat thing about the Red Cross is we take anyone with diverse skills. You'd be surprised how many people come in as a volunteer with skills that they don't necessarily say that they have initially, but as you go through a disaster, you find out what their strength is. People skills, there's people that have it, others that don't. The people that have the cooking talents, I love those people.
We do too.
Because then you can just hand off the cooking to those individuals. You have people that have the social skills and the counseling skills. Of course, those come into play even when you're dealing with a house fire. And usually it'll be one or two of us. I know Lynn's come out to a couple of those. We're called out at 1 in the morning. You've got to be pleasant. Yeah, like Dennis said, there's a lot of training. So part of that training is understanding the Red Cross mission, the professionalism that's involved. So when you're out there at 1 in the morning, you have to have compassion. You don't want to be grouchy mm-hmm. because you were awakened at 1 in the morning.
Right.
But you want to be there to console that individual and be prepared to handle someone who may be sobbing uncontrollably because they've lost a pet or, heaven forbid, a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those skills come into play. Every one of our volunteers brings something to the table. And to develop those makes our team stronger.
A couple months ago, Billy, we responded to the post office fire in Miami. And their post office was burned. Two elderly ladies run it. We had to put them up in hotel, get them food, get them clothes. They grabbed the mail and ran out the door in their nightgown and slippers. And as a result, the Postal Service closed that post office, and everybody's getting their mail out of Springer now. If you have a rural box, they still deliver to that, but the post office in Miami is gone. So we did respond to those two ladies and give them a debit card and let them go to Kmart and purchase their clothing. And we're here and on the job. All we have to do is know what the need is, and we're available.
Throughout northeastern New Mexico is the response. And they're looking at closing rural post offices
yes.
throughout the country, so
yes,
that was a good excuse.
It was a good excuse yeah. just to go ahead and close
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it was a good excuse for that. Not anything that those ladies, because, hey, talk about dedication, grabbing the mail
yeah.
before you get out.
Well, they wouldn't leave. The one lady that was a postmistress, she wouldn't leave until she had the mail.
Mm-hmm.
She said, no, the place can burn. I'm not going out until mm-hmm. I got the mail. So she grabbed the mail and run.
And I imagine you see that quite a bit
yes.
with disasters, especially with fire, flood, et cetera.
Right.
You know, people want to stick around as long as they possibly can.
That takes a talent, too. We've had winter shelters where we've had young kids on the interstate that have been directed to the shelter and they're trying to find alternate routes to get to Colorado. And you kind of mm-hmm. need to be effective, and you say you don't want to risk it. You know, it's only a few hours. You know, the shelter's not that bad. We've got coffee. We've got cookies. Yeah. We'll feed you.
Yeah, going up over the Mesa, it was hard in the summer when they redirected, you know, for the track fire.
That road is so narrow, mm-hmm. and to put trucks over Johnson Mesa...
Yeah. That's a disaster waiting to happen,
disaster.
Too.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, everybody was kind of tested with the track fire and probably going to be tested a little bit more. Again, we have a chance of some severe showers and thunder showers mm-hmm. here in the area. ironically, what we really don't need at this particular point is water because of the burned and scarred areas. So they're saying flash flood and debris flow may now be a danger. We had a good town hall meeting yesterday at the Schuller and Fire Chief Dave Pasquale. Lynn, you know him. You probably haven't seen him. Probably haven't seen him in a while, huh?
No, I haven't. Man. He's been on call since the beginning and will remain on call until this disaster's over. And I have to say the last thing people want to do is wait it out and get your belongings and things like that. But, you know, if, God forbid, something happens with now the debris flow, Red Cross will be there again.
Right. So be prepared, as you said, you know,
have that
bag packed or whatever you need. Right. Make sure that you can get out quick. Maybe even more so dangerous is the flood because you can't see it many times. And the flow, Dave Pasquale likened it to like a cold lava flow.
Yes, and we're not used to that here at all. We're not used to flooding and the type of debris flow and mudslides like they are in California.
Yeah.
So it's fast. There will be noises that we're not familiar with. So it'll probably spark our curiosity as opposed to us saying, well, we better go. That's not an okay noise.
No.
But I'm prepared. And between Red Cross and being married to Dave, I have bags packed. They're waiting. God forbid I need them. They're just waiting in a closet.
This track fire kind of woke us all up. You know, we live in paradise here, that is for sure.
Yes.
And we had, up until that particular moment, evaded most of those other things that a lot of the rest of the country has had to deal with, hurricanes, floods, those sorts of things. And so, it kind of, I think Scott Berry said, it kind of galvanized us, trial by fire. We can all, you know, get out the information, work in one particular direction. Plan ahead. Now, what are some of the things in addition to having your bags packed? What are some other things that that are recommended?
I think one of the things, Billy, that in addition to your clothing, one of the most important things is to have some container with all your meds in. If you have a diabetic or some other problem and you need a medication once or twice a day, you better have that handy, because in a panic, if you run out the door and leave those behind, we deal with this with house fires.
Mm-hmm.
People dash out, they leave their glasses, sometimes their false teeth, their medicine, and then we're trying to scramble without prescriptions and one thing another to get someone to give them their medication. So have a bag packed with clothing, but also have the essentials that you need for life support.
Mm-hmm. And have a plan for that evacuation.
Have a plan.
Where you're going to go
if
something happens. Make sure all family members know that plan. And if you're separated, et cetera, you'll have a place to meet and to get in contact with each other. And also, if you're in a high-risk flood area and debris area, plan to stay with family or friends during rainstorms, etc. And again, be very aware of your environment. Very aware. It could not rain here, but upstream, it could be raining, and then we could have trouble down here. So just please be very aware and let your neighbors know what's going on. And I think we will make it through this. You will make it through this, no matter what.
I just wanted to say that with the medication, hopefully you do have, extra medication that you could just pack up. But we did have a couple instances in this past shelter where people didn't have their medication, and the pharmacies worked awesome with us. The doctors came to the shelter. They sent a nurse. We were able to get medicine. We were able to get medical care for other people. And the community, I know you keep saying it, but it warmed my heart from the moment this fire started to when we were packing up. You couldn't have asked for more, especially in these economic times. People were there with their generosity, with their helping hand. They just couldn't do enough. It was just awesome.
awesome is a very good word for it. We saw it here time and time and time again as well in the communications, et cetera. When it's a life-threatening situation, that brings out the best in people. Sometimes the worst, but then the best of us will deal with the worst, and that's it.
And like Lynn said, and that's where we go back again to the diversity of our volunteers. We do have three nurses that were there with this shelter, and they came out. Two of them are my regular volunteers, mm-hmm. and then we had a volunteer that's on a list with Red Cross, and she was based out of Cimarron, and she called the chapter and they said yes. They get a hold of the DAC captain, and then we deploy them out.
Okay.
So we had access to more volunteers if we needed it. The awesome thing was we did it. We had enough people come out within this community, including my regular volunteers, to help us run the shelter effectively and smoothly for the duration of 4 days.